Many of us have the desire to elevate our lives to the next level. We are often driven by the need to succeed, corporately, relationally, spiritually, and financially. And that's not so bad, is it? After all, that is the way God created us. We have good intentions and healthy priorities. The problem comes when we flip them upside down and let our need to succeed be overtaken by greed. We know we can do better, be better, live better, and give better. But where do we start? It starts here. It starts now. It's time to elevate.
Today we are wrapping up our Elevate series. Some of you may be asking, why in the world did you even do this series anyway? We didn't do this series because we wanted something from you. We did this series because we wanted something for you. You see, we want each of you to be blessed by God. We want each of you to get out of debt and experience financial freedom. We want each of you to experience the incredible joy of generosity. Suppose you heard about four guys, they had their 50th birthday, and they decided, what are they going to do? They said, well, let's go downtown to that new restaurant where they have good-looking waitresses, and so they did that. 10 years later, they got together on their 60th birthday and said, what shall we do? They said, well, let's go downtown to that good restaurant. They've got good food. 10 years later, on their 70th birthday, they got together and said, how are we going to celebrate? One of them said, let's go downtown to that good restaurant. They've got a great wheelchair ramp. 10 years later, for their 80th birthday, they got together and said, how should we celebrate this year? And one of them said, let's go downtown to that really new restaurant. We've never been there before. Now, you might say, what in the world does this have to do with the message? Absolutely nothing, all right? But when you talk about giving, sometimes we get really uptight, and I want to say to all of you on all of our campuses, relax, take a deep breath, and let God open your heart. I want to quickly recap the series that we've done. The first week was entitled Elevate Your Heart. And we understood that it all belongs to God. Everything we have belongs to God. Why in the world did Jesus spend so much time talking about money in the New Testament? Almost a half of his parables deal with money. Because he knew that money would be the number one competitor for people's hearts. That's why the Bible says you can't serve both God and money. Because you see, if you serve money first, you won't do the first and second commandments. You won't love God. You won't love your neighbor. But if you serve God first, then you'll want to be generous and meet needs. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God knew that he didn't need our money. God owns everything. But what God wanted to know is, where is our heart? More and more studies are showing that giving improves physical and mental health. People who give and help have less stress and depression, a better immune system, and a greater sense of satisfaction in life. In fact, a study conducted by the Harvard Business School in 2009 found, quote, happier people give more, and giving makes people happier, such that happiness and giving may operate in a positive feedback loop, meaning what? The happier you are, the more you give. The more you give, the happier you are, and it continues. Do you want to increase your happiness? Then increase your generosity. First week, enlarge and elevate your heart. Second week, we talked about elevate your trust. Make sure that you give to God first, that you trust Him. Because we shared there are five things that we often do with our money. And what most of us do is the first thing we do is we spend our money. Then we repay debt. Then we pay our taxes. Then we save. And then we give God what we would say is the leftovers after we've taken care of ourselves. But the correct use of our money is, first of all, as believers, we're supposed to give. When we do that, we put God first. Then we save, then we pay our taxes, then we repay debt, and then we spend what's left to live on. You see, you've got to decide, am I going to put God first or am I going to put myself first? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be yours as well. Week one, elevate your heart. Week two, elevate your trust. Last week, we talked about elevate your generosity. That generosity begins where tithing ends. In other words, tithes plus offerings is really where generosity starts. And we said, when people say, well, I'm gonna give my money to the Lord, you don't give your tithe, you bring your tithe or return your tithe. Because you can't give something that doesn't belong to you in the first place. You see, we're not owners. God owns everything. We are simply managers, and so we return to God that which is His. We also heard that in God's eyes, percentage is more important than the amount. Now you say, how does that make sense? Well, Jesus told a story of some rich men putting money in the temple treasury and a widow putting in one penny, all she had to live on. And he asked the disciples, which one gave more? Well, the answer is obvious. The rich guys gave more. Jesus said, no, they gave out of their abundance, but she gave all that she had, illustrating that the percentage that we give is more important than the amount. We also learned that generosity is progressive, that increases as we grow in our faith in Jesus Christ. Because the more you give, the more you realize you can't outgive God. That's why Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Elevate your heart, elevate your trust, elevate your generosity. I want to wrap this up by talking about elevate your ownership. And if you're going to elevate your ownership, you must understand compound interest. Albert Einstein said one of the most powerful forces in the universe is compound interest. And what I want to do today is give you three ways that you can elevate and evaluate compound interest and get a good return on your giving. First of all, let's look, what is the right priority for giving? Malachi chapter 3 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Would you check or circle in your outline the whole tithe? That there may be food in my house. Circle the word test me. Test me in this. This is the only place in the Bible where God tells us to put him to the test. With our resources, he says, test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it. So the first priority and the right priority of our giving is the local church. Storehouse tithing is giving to one's local church. The whole tithe, the 10%, is to be given to the church where you worship. Now, I want you to know that many times Christians, they try to divide their tithe to different organizations. And you'd say, are you a tither? And they say, yes, I give 3% to the local church. The other 7% I give here, here, and here. That's not the biblical way to do it. Why? You're still in control. It's not yours to decide where it goes. The whole tithe belongs to the Lord. You see, money or offerings were never given to individuals in the New Testament. Money was given to the church, and the elders were accountable to decide how it would be used best. Well, you say, well, now, wait a minute then. If I give the whole tithe to the local church, should a Christian support parachurch organizations? And the word is absolutely. But our gifts to parachurch organizations should always be over and above our tithes and offerings to the local church. In fact, I don't know about you, but I've noticed recently that businesses and civic groups, that they now are making appeals to our hearts to have us help fund their things. And so you can go to a food place, you can go to a Walgreens, you can go to Circle K, and almost everyone says, what? Do you want to take your extra change and you want to give it to support this or this? It goes on and on. People knock on my door all the time at home asking for money. And I have a standard answer. I tell them, I appreciate you stopping by, but I give through my local church. There's only two exceptions when they knock on my door that I give. One is Girl Scout cookies. Sorry. Secondly, I give to CCV kids that live in the neighborhood. They know I'm an easy sell. If they're involved in our neighborhood group, they live in our neighborhood, and they stop by our house, we're going to be involved in helping what they do. But those are probably the exceptions. You see, when you ask yourself, should we give to all these good Christian causes, the answer is for you to decide. It's up to you. There's no right or wrong answer. But the question you got to ask is, when you give, do you know where the money's going? When you give, do you know how much of it actually gets to the people or to the cause? And so, be generous. Give to the church. Give to parachurch organizations. But remember that whatever you decide to do or give to other organizations, it must be above the tithe or the 10%. And so the first and right priority for giving is the local church. You say, why? Because you can see the need where you worship every week. On all of our campuses, you can see where the money goes. You can see where we're trying to upgrade facilities. You can see how we try to take care of our facilities, the money that's needed. You can see the programs that go for our neighborhood ministry or the weekend experience or for children or for youth. You can see the staff that are involved and how you're helping support their lives as they're giving their lives to help minister in the church. You can see the need every week. But secondly, you can also see the return on your investment. Because if you're involved in the local church, you can see the best investment is changed lives. Either your life has been changed because somebody was generous and gave so that you could come here, or you have given and others have had a chance to find Jesus Christ. Or think about the impacts that our neighborhood ministry have had, what we've done with elementary schools, or the free funerals that we give to express love. Our church has kind of become the church where firefighters and fallen officers come to have their funeral, and we're honored free of charge to open our church to reach out and help the community. You see, the right priority answers where we should give. Now let's talk about the objective for giving, because the objective or motive for giving talks about how we should give. Look at Matthew chapter 6 in your Bibles. It says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. Because if you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with the trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in church my whole life, and I've always heard this passage used that no one should ever see or know what we give. And I want you to know that is taken totally out of context. The concept, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. There's many examples in Scripture where we see what people are giving. But the context here is not don't let people know. The context is when you do things, don't do them for show. This whole chapter, go back and read it. In Matthew 6, it says, when you do your acts of righteousness, when you give, it says don't give with announcing with your trumpets. You know, over here, big gift coming. Or it says when you pray, don't do it for show. Don't stand on the corner and pray out loud. Or don't use long words that will impress everybody. Or it says even when you fast, don't put ashes on yourself so that people will say, oh my gosh, are you fasting? You're trying to draw attention. That's why in the Bible, when people gave sometimes their money, people saw it. The story we just shared of Jesus in the temple looking at the rich people giving their money and the widow giving one penny, he knew how much they gave. He saw that. Or in Acts chapter 4, the believers sold a field and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. They saw how much was given. And so this passage talks about our motive for giving. What is our objective? And so we ask ourselves a couple questions. Do we give to be honored by men or by God? In other words, when you give a gift, do you want men to see it or do you want God to see it? Now, stop and think about most of the appeals for money that we get to give to Christian causes. And I can think back almost every situation. It's like what? If you give this, you'll be able to sit here. If you give a bigger gift, you will sit closer to the front. If you give a larger gift, you will get to sit at the head table, or you'll get your name in the program, or you'll get a plaque on a wall. Now, listen, if you're a Christian and you're a generous person and you're wealthy, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you might say, well, no, Pastor, we've never given to get attention. All right, I'm guilty. I confess, I've done that. First time I came to Phoenix, 1975. I was involved in a church, and they were having a building program, and they said, you give so much, you get your name on a plaque, and I'd never seen that before, and so I thought, okay, good. My wife and I will sacrifice to get our name on there. Wrong motive. Or I will tell you that I've done sometimes, maybe you haven't, but when you give and you look in those programs, and it lists the names of people that give $0 to $500, and then at the next level is 501 to 1,000, and then the next level is 1,000 to 10,000, and you look at that and you go, man, I'd like to get in level 2, so what do you do? You write your check for $501 so that it looks like you were maybe the one that gave almost $1,000. Nobody's ever done that. Your pastor's guilty. I've done that. Now, what's the point? It was the wrong motive. And the motive was to see my name at a different level. And if I were honest, it would say I gave to get recognition. That's the wrong motive for giving. That's why at CCV, we do not single out and give more attention to bigger gifts. We do not have names on plaques that highlight one gift over another. In fact, in the 32 years of our ministry, we have never had a name given on any gift. Why? Because our philosophy is it all belongs to Jesus. Now listen carefully. I'm not speaking against what any other church does. That's or parachurch organization. That's between them and the Lord. But at CCV, our position is that we've decided our name's not going to be on anything. It's His. Now, also at CCV, we do not allow designated giving, which means you give your gift with conditions on it. You say, I'll give you this amount of money if you will give it to this person or this cause. And we say, no, can't do that because it's not yours. You can't control it. It belongs to the Lord. And so if people say, well, I want the money to go for that, I'd say, then go ahead and send the check to them. You don't have to send it through CCV. In fact, we believe, and our people for 32 years have given their money to the church, and they trust the elders. It's the elders' responsibility to make the right decision on where the money should go. And so, do you give to be seen by men, or do you give to be seen by God? And I confessed, there's times that I've given for the wrong motive. Secondly, how will you know the reward that you'll get when you give? Well, I believe your motive for giving will determine your reward. If you want to get the praise of men, it says your reward will be in full. What was their reward? It was that day only. They stood on the corner and said, I gave, and people said, oh, good job. That was it. That was their reward. Or when I gave with the wrong motive and I went to the program, to that banquet or wherever it was, and I saw my name here or there, my reward was that day and that's it. Just seeing my name there. Unless I took the program home and opened it every day and looked at it. And so that's the reward you get. It's temporary if you give with the wrong motive. On the other hand, if you give with the right motive, you will find incredible blessings. First of all, you will grow spiritually. You know why? You'll find that God enlarges your heart and you're generous on every occasion. Secondly, when you give with the right motive, God will be glorified because you're not the one that's glorified. God is the one who's glorified. And thirdly, when we give with the right motive, others will be helped. Because of your generosity, someday you will be in heaven and people will say to you, you don't realize it, but your generous gift provided an opportunity for me to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I want to say I'm in heaven because of you. The right priority answers where we should give. It should go to the local church. The objective or motive on how we should give is we should give not for attention or honor to ourselves, but to glorify God. And thirdly, let's look at the impact of our giving because that answers why we should give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Underline, enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. We'll come back to that. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, underline the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. You see, what's the impact of our giving? If you're a generous Christian, you want to give your resources where it will have the greatest impact. Because if we're not careful, we often give to ministries outside the church based on relationship instead of impact and effectiveness. Now, hang with me. I've done that too. I've given to family or friends or people I know just because out of generosity, I want to be a part of what they're doing, but I do it knowing it might not be the best use of my resources. And it's okay to do that. At CCV, we want to make sure that you get a great return on your giving. That's why our staff has specific goals and objectives that they're held accountable to win, train, and send. Our ministry partners and missionaries are likewise held accountable to goals. This is interesting. We're one of the few churches that does that. We have people every day coming to us wanting us to support their mission and their cause. And so our missions team gives them a form to fill out, and it basically says, you know, what is your income? Where's the money going to? What are the goals that you have that we can hold you accountable to? And you'll be surprised the number of missionaries and organizations that say, "Then I'm not interested." And they will leave. Because it's new to them to be held accountable for the goals, because we believe as we help other ministries, which we do, we are still accountable to get a good return on your investment. That's also why we visit our missionaries on site to evaluate their effectiveness, because you can't tell the effectiveness of a ministry by looking at the newsletter or brochure that they send to you. You see, we want our giving to have the greatest kingdom impact. Now, according to this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, our impact is measured in two areas. The first, it's how we meet the needs of others. He says, your store of seed will enlarge, the service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people. First thing you do when you're generous is we meet the needs of God's people. Our 500 neighborhood groups are meeting so many needs, and what you will realize is so much of what we're doing is unseen. Never makes the paper, and that's perfect. It's seen by God. People are doing things to impact their neighbors and coworkers all the time. Over $500,000 was given for food to help under-resourced people over the holidays, 119 schools, 6,500 families, or we shared free funerals to minister in times of need. Why do we try and do this to meet the needs? We're trying to give Jesus and the church a good name. Secondly, why do we give, and what's the impact of our giving? How can we enlarge the harvest of His righteousness? What's that mean? How can we enlarge or reach more people for Jesus Christ? So last year, we helped plant 13 churches in 13 different countries. We trained over 400 church leaders in 6 different countries. We partnered with 72 agencies in 28 different countries. We baptized almost 1,900 new believers. My friends, I believe with all of my heart that the best place to make an impact with your giving is in a healthy, vibrant, and growing local church. And that's why I believe CCV is the best place. Now you say, "I'm not sure." Okay, that's fair. If you don't believe this church is the best place to trust God with your resources, then find a church that you can trust and go there and worship and be generous to them. Stop for a moment and think about the impact our church on all of our campuses is already having in this valley and around the world. Do you want to sponsor starving or orphaned children? CCV already does that. Do you want to help rescue young girls from the sex trade? CCV already does that. Do you want to help communities when a disaster strikes? CCV already does that. Do you want to reach Muslims with the gospel? CCV does that. Do you want to educate and train future church leaders? CCV does that. Do you want to build homes for poor people? CCV does that. Do you want to dig a well to help people have clean drinking water? CCV does that. Do you want to minister to people in prison? CCV already does that. Do you want to provide abortion counseling for young men and women? CCV does that. Do you want to help people overcome drug and alcohol addiction? CCV does that. Do you want to encourage coaches and athletes to live out their faith? CCV already does that. Do you want to start churches in America and in foreign countries? CCV does that. Do you want to help defend the constitutional rights and liberties of Christians being persecuted by their faith? CCV already does that. And my friends, the list goes on and on and on. And that's why my challenge to you today on all of our campuses is to elevate your ownership of CCV. You see, make a decision and say, "I want to become a ministry partner with you." It's the greatest return on your investment that you can make. Remember our theme for this year? The power of one. Your generosity, your one financial commitment could make the difference in one person's life for eternity. On all of our campuses right now, I'd like everybody to reach in your program and take out the My Tithing Commitment card. All of our campuses, everybody, would you please do this right now together as a church family? This is something that we're all going to take that next step of maturity together. It's going to be a great growth experience, I believe, for our church and maybe for you as a Christian. It says, my tithing commitment card, recognizing that God owns everything, I choose to obey God, to be generous and put Him first in all areas of my life, including my finances, because I believe that He will more than meet my needs. What I would like for you to do is look over to the right at the four different levels or areas of giving. It says, first of all, I'll start tithing. Some of you, I pray that if you've never trusted God with the first 10% to your local church, that you would check that box. Or some will say, I will continue giving 10% to the local church. Or thirdly, I will start giving above the 10%, the tithe, with offerings. Or I will continue giving above the tithe. Would you check one of those boxes that indicates the heart and your commitment to this ministry? Secondly, I would like so many of you to check that last box for the first time. I will automate the important, my giving. In other words, you will make a decision to give online. My wife and I give online. That we automate the important on almost all of our bills, and that's why we know every paycheck we get, that first goes to the ministry. And on the back of the card, it will tell you how you can go online, ccvonline.com/give, and you can sign up for automated giving. Right now, about 40% of our people on all of our campuses give online. I'm going to make a huge ask. I would love to see that jump to 80%, where we would simply say, as an indication of our trust in God, we're going to automate what is important. And I want to encourage you to do that, to check that box. You need to know that our leadership philosophy, we will never ask you to do something we haven't done ourselves. So every employee of CCV is already a tither, and many give beyond that, but every employee at CCV is a tither. And so would you please decide your level of participation in giving, and then would you please check that box and say, I'm for the first time, I'm going to start giving online. Now, on all campuses, in a minute, I'm going to pray, and you will see a music video. And during this video presentation, if you're single, would you bow your head and pray to God and say, this is what I'm going to do. If you're a married couple, during the video, would you talk to each other and then say, here's what we're going to do together? Now listen carefully. Guys, most of the time, the guys are afraid to take a step here. And men, we say we want you to be leaders, and so start the conversation with your spouse. Listen carefully. If you and your spouse, it causes major problems in what you're going to give, and it causes tension in your marriage, then don't give. Because I don't want you to give out of pressure. I want you to give because it's a cheerful decision that you've made. And so as you work through that, you'll probably come together. But if there are situations where you cannot agree and it causes major tension, don't fill out your card, okay? I don't want to be a part of something that causes problems in a marriage. So pray about this during the video. See what God is doing. And then after the video, your campus pastor will come out to your campus and let you know what to do with the card. Let's bow our heads, please. Lord God, we just come and say thank you. You're doing amazing things through the ministry of CCV, and we give you all the credit. You are an awesome God. You're generous. And our desire the last 4 weeks is to elevate our life and our maturity where we can be generous and be more like you. And for those that maybe are afraid to tithe, that have never trusted you, I pray that they will take your challenge to put them to the test and say, okay, we're going to test God and see if God will be faithful. For those, Lord, that are already tithing, thank you for their generosity. And maybe for the first time, they would say, we're going to give a tithe and an offering. We're going to increase our commitment. Lord, you've always been faithful. And Lord, I pray that as a church on all of our campuses, you would give our elders wisdom as we use the resources entrusted to you through us in a wise way, that we would expand your kingdom and reach many lost people for Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen.